This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And yeah, I don't know about you guys, but power play aside, I just felt like I learned more about the Bruins and what needs to transpire going forward against Florida than I did Tampa Bay. There were more learning points. Like, for example, I learned affirmation that I just really think they found their third D pair in Peak and Wotherspoon, which kind of ties into Scott's opening shift a little bit too with the split in Tampa. But mainly what I learned about the Bruins was that it was wonderful to see their resolve. It was wonderful to see their pushback, their fight back. But as somebody who's watched the Bruins all year, we know that took a lot out of them to come out with the win that night. Like, it kind of, you could tell the Bruins were pushing all their chips in this game. But for Florida, it kind of seemed like another day at the office. And so, like, that's every game for them. They always play that way. They always play with that kind of intensity. And it just kind of made me, like, when Jim Montgomery skated the Bruins, again, I said this before last episode before these two games, like, the Bruins, and I'm not saying that they feel this way. I'm just saying I hope they don't feel this way. There's a fine line between being proud of yourself or playing well but not being satisfied. And I just hope that the Bruins don't just remember that skate session from Monty and the ridicule and then feel better about themselves because they came out and played well on a regular season game against Florida. And that's great. But I hope they've learned against Florida on Tuesday that it's going to take that effort night in and night out in the spring. And I do think that adding a guy like Patrick Maroon to the lineup, he really helps balance it out a little bit and with all those, between the whistles nonsense and policing the game amongst players. But I just hope that the Bruins learn, like, we got to bring that consistently.
Yeah, I don't want to take anything away that, like, I thought Florida brought their best. I thought they were all in as well. I've seen them have plenty of off nights too. Like, they had some no-shows recently, a 4-0 loss to Carolina, 3-0 to Nashville. I think we always see them bring it against the Bruins because it's a game they get up for as well. And I think they were treating like that, like a measuring stick game as well. So, I'm not going to take anything away from them. Like, I thought that was two really good teams bringing it that were really up for that game. So I give full credit to the Bruins like that. That they needed their best, and I thought they mostly got Florida's best.
Well,
too. So
that's a good point, Scott. But that's kind of it, right? Like, they that's exactly it. If they don't bring their best against a team that is capable of playing that well, bringing their best, it's going to be, they're not going to have success. Right. So maybe Florida no shows a game against Carolina or Nashville, like all teams do in the regular season, but they won't no show you. And the Bruins have seen what it takes to beat Florida. It takes the Bruins' best. And I think that it's not so much the between the whistles stuff. Like, Florida, while they might no show certain games on the scoreboard, they always consistently will nip at your heels. They'll agitate you, whether it's Sam Bennett, Tkachuk, Cousins, Lomberg, whomever, Montour, they all do it. And I just that does take energy out of their opposition. And the, if the Bruins ever play Florida, they can bet their bottom dollar that like that's gonna be a part of that series. And look, they matched it. They matched it on Tuesday. I'm just saying, like, they learned this is what we have to do if we play Florida, because it's just the reality of the situation. If you play Toronto and then second round somehow you play, you know, the Rangers and you don't ever play Florida, it's a moot point. But if they ever end up playing Florida in the playoffs, there's two games at play. There's between the whistles, and then there's the nonsense, which Florida will do, and they get away with it. And so the Bruins are going to have to kind of match them a little bit tit for tat to an extent. And they did on Tuesday, but it's just affirmation.
Yeah, Tkachuk plays like that every game. Like, that's just him. He's a pain. And basically, you see the Bruins get to the their next level emotionally. With guys mixing it up, like you mentioned, Marchand and Lindholm, and there was plenty of times after the whistle where even like Charlie Coyle was dealing with someone, and you know, there was a lot going on after the whistles, basically. But it feels like Florida is getting you to play their game when you get up, when you're doing stuff like that, because that's what they're used to, and they have it in their mind, like where the line is and where, you know, where the penalties are going to come out of that and whatnot. And a guy like Lindholm isn't going to do that every game. We know that. And you don't want your captain getting punched in the face every game. Like, so it's a fine line, and it's where Pat Maroon definitely comes into play in a playoff series, because he's someone that probably shuts that down in between whistles or steps in instead of somebody that, you know, maybe just is smaller or not experienced in a fight or, you know, dealing with that kind of physicality, and it gets under your skin. We saw how annoying it was in a playoff series last year. And you could just tell from this one-off game that we saw on this road trip, that's exactly what the playoff series would look like again this year. It's hard to argue like the Bruins are better prepared for it now than they would have been last year, because they had a way better roster last year. But maybe just learning from past mistakes and learning from last year's playoff sets them up a little bit better to deal with it this year. I don't know. But it's going to be a tough playoff series if that's what the Bruins draw, for sure. It was a close game, and there were definitely times where I didn't think that they were going to win it, and then they found a way to.
Yeah, you don't want Marchand getting punched in the face, but you do want them responding. Like, I actually think it's a good thing. Like, the Panthers dragged that out of them. And I think the Bruins are at their best when they're playing with emotion and intensity and responding the right way. I think they channeled that energy in a good direction and like played well, you know, in the run of play, played physically, didn't get carried away. I know that, you know, I think they got the extra penalty once or twice. Quite frankly, I didn't think it was deserved, but
Beecher with the splash, you kidding me?
Yeah, like it's, you know, Weatherspoon getting two when Tkachuk kicks out his skate at him, like that was just dumb. But anyways, like I'm more worried about the Bruins if they get into, now look, they might not beat the Panthers, right? It might be an emotional, intense series, and the Panthers might still win it because they're just a really good hockey team. They're going to be tough to beat. But I almost worry more about the Bruins if they get into a series against a team that's not going to drag them out of that, where they might get caught sleepwalking a little bit, because I don't know that I trust them to bring that themselves and for them to be the team that raises the intensity level. Like, Florida's going to raise it. What I'm encouraged by is that the Bruins, once they get dragged in, were able to raise it themselves and match that.
That's a great point, and that's kind of, I think, the crux of what I was trying to articulate, but you just said it perfectly. Like, it seemed like it was a drag for the Bruins. It seemed like it was so energy inducing for the Bruins to play that way. And it took it took everything out of them to beat Florida in that one way. Whereas for Florida, the way Florida plays, it's more natural for them to play that type of game. Yes, Florida will have off nights, but the emotional engagement, Florida brings that all the time to an extent. Even if they're losing, they'll probably, you know, Kachuk will turn his ass to somebody after a whistle and just kind of, you know, poke at somebody. That's the problem though, Scott, is like, that's what I want this Bruins team to adopt going forward, is like, don't be the team that has to have something dragged out of you. Be the team that takes the fight to somebody, no matter who you're playing. And I think that's a very important trait to have as a team. It's not just fighting. In fact, it's not really fighting at all. It's just like, be in the face of your opponent. Like, be hard in the forecheck, be hard in the back check. Like, let them know you're there after whistles. Just let them know you're there. And don't wait for Matthew.
Let them know you're there.
Don't wait for Matthew Tkachuk or Nick Cousins to piss you off to get to that level. Like, you should innately have that animosity towards your opponent all the time, especially in the playoffs. And I think it's important for the Bruins to, is it in their DNA as a group right now? Probably not. They're not the toughest Bruins team I've ever seen, but can you try to be for the next couple of months while you're trying to win a championship? Can you adopt that on the fly to the best that you can? Hopefully. I mean, I think, again, losing Milan Lucic as a hockey player, that was the role he was supposed to help out with this year, right? Like no one's going to fuck with anybody on the team because Lucic will be there. That went away and the Bruins have struggled. And then they get Pat Maroon. We haven't seen Maroon play in a Bruins jersey, but the Bruins would benefit greatly by being a team that is proactive. And no matter who you're playing, what night you're playing, you bring that energy, you bring that fight. It's what the 2011 Bruins did. It's what that whole era of Bruins did. Like, they were always willing and able, not just waiting for somebody to poke and pry them to like finally be like, all right, enough is enough. Like, and I think I would like to see that going forward. I think it's very important. I think it's why Florida is so successful.
Yeah, and I want to like push this forward to like what you want to see out of them the next. What is there? Is there only 9 games left now? Or is it 10?
Eight games left.
Okay, so 8 games left. We don't expect that to be what they do every night, but obviously you want to see a percentage of those games be like that, and to look at what they have left on their schedule. Carolina is another team you probably want to see them play like that against. You have Carolina twice in April, and then you have Florida again. So like we're talking about, they have Tuesday, they have Nashville, Thursday they have Carolina, and then Saturday they're at home against Florida. So you're gonna be back in the Garden, but you're gonna probably face a similar challenge of dealing with the kind of antics that Florida brings. And when I want to read something that Swayman said after that Florida game, he said, last 9 games will be hard, and winning them gives a boatload of confidence. So basically, you need to be gaining your confidence over this last stretch of 8 games by doing those things right, like you saw in Florida with the physicality, just trying to put things together before the playoffs start.
Absolutely. I mean, again, for me, attention to detail, defensive commitment, buying in, being a hard team to penetrate the inside ice, that's very important. Protecting your net, winning board battles, being aggressive on the forecheck and hard on the back check, those little things, that all matters. And then, you know, obviously I don't expect Hampus Lindholm to fight every game, but little things, I feel it, seriously, little things go a long way. Like when I watch the Bruins play Florida or teams like that, that just kind of a very easy way to get under a team's skin, and it has nothing to do with fighting, but it kind of just, what'd you say, Scott? Let them know you're there. Like say the puck is tied up by the other goalie, right? Instead of just like, you know, like flying by, you know, and like, you know, whatever, like reading signs in the stands, like just kind of linger, like just don't snow the goalie, just kind of like linger and like just, I feel like that bothers teams. It annoys them. Do you guys know what I'm saying? Like if you watch like you'll watch Matthew Tkachuk or Sam Bennett, like Swayman will tie it up and you just see Tkachuk just kind of, he doesn't do anything wrong. Right, no penalty, nothing, but he just kind of like lingers, and like maybe he'll do like a little very tiny little like it's gamesmanship. It does cause emotion. It gets your opponent frustrated. And again, like I just little things, just like just be engaged, you know, in all facets of the game. That's just what I want to see heading into the playoffs.
I also think like when, as you say that, I'm thinking like Brad Marchand in particular is, you know, he's going to do that in the playoffs. Like, you know, he's going to bring out, you know, maybe not all the old antics, but a lot of them that I think get put away a little bit in the regular season. Now that he's older, now that he's a captain, you know, he's not going to do that stuff every night, but like, you better believe like he'll do it in the playoffs. So obviously, yes, you need other guys to do it as well, but you know, he does kind of set the tone that way. There are a couple other positives I wanted to highlight. Well, individually, David Pastrnak's physicality the last two games, you know, the first goal in Florida, he doesn't get a point on it, but he has the reverse hit on Tkachuk in the corner, knocks him down, and that gets that play started, leads to a goal. Another goal he doesn't get a point on, but Danton Heinen's goal in Tampa starts with Pastrnak on the forecheck, forces an errant pass, a turnover that Zacha collects and sets up Heinen. So I thought you saw, you know, again, understanding, yes, there are also power play struggles, and he's part of that, but I thought you saw a really engaged Pastrnak these two games that brought his A game. Charlie McAvoy continues to shoot more. That's been an encouraging development the last three games after, you know, felt like weeks of talking about McAvoy not being involved enough, not having a shot mentality. You know, he went a stretch where he had two total shots on goal in six games. Gonna kill this dog.
No.
But you know, a great shot on his goal on Tuesday.
No, that's not what I say to Melvin when Melvin barks. I'm just gonna say, I just go,
it's not my dog. So
yeah.
But yeah, those two in particular, like I thought, have really turned it up. And those are obviously guys who you rely on as you know, alternate captains and as star players, your two highest paid players.
Yeah, and Pasta got his 100th point on this road trip, so you know he's still contributing, obviously, just so consistent with bringing his offense, hence how he has so many points this season, and just reaching another milestone. And he just keeps climbing the Bruins, you know, up the Bruins records and passing different players who had great careers with Boston in terms of his points and goals. And he's somebody that you need to keep seeing that from, obviously, in the final stretch. When it comes to the McAvoy thing, he looks like his mentality has shifted back to getting shots through, like trying to find that lane to shoot, trying to be more offensive rather than thinking about like, okay, obviously you want to be pinching at the right time and you want to be keeping pucks in and you want to be finding the right pass. But I think he had kind of not prioritized the, okay, why don't I look for a shot here? Kind of thought process. And when you see him get that shot through, it moves defenders. Pucks come back out off the pads quick on a hard point shot like that, or you know, bounce off anything out in front, and you have a chance for someone else to grab it and put it in, or you have a chance to, like we saw him actually sniping goals, like that shot from the right dot was just a perfectly placed shot, and it was the right time to shoot. He had plenty of space, so it's nice to see him finding those openings, like getting open without the puck. And going into places where he can find a lane to shoot, and good things have happened from him doing that. So it's kind of crazy. Like you just I feel like Coach only had to say it to him one time and he did it. So that's great. Like the adjustment came very quickly.
Yeah, definitely. There's another Charlie on the Bruins, I think, that could probably have a better shot first mentality, which was, I mean, Charlie Coyle. I mean, I also think Marchand could have shot that. He's right in the slot. It's easy to watch that play on TV and be like, Coyle, shoot the puck. But Marchand was the player with the best chance to shoot there, and he didn't. But still, 3-on-1, you got to get a shot. But yes, Bridget, Charlie McAvoy definitely shot first mentality the last few games in particular. Message received, apparently. So
you keep doing it. Keep doing it.
Keep doing it. Yeah, you have
to. Yeah, I think the problem is with both Charlies is that, you know, you can tell them and they'll start doing it again, but at some point it'll trail off and then you're going to have to tell them again. So, like, it just isn't natural for either of them. I think they are both pass first, always looking to pass by nature, but they're both so much more effective when they're looking to shoot. So, yeah, you know, hopefully they're both in that mindset for the playoffs.
So, Scott, I wanted to get back to your opening shift just a little bit more to expand upon that. And I thought that, look, we just mentioned it was their best win of the season, certainly one of them against Florida. And I thought that the Andrew Peak, Parker Weatherspoon, third D pair, that's a D pair that I want to see the Bruins that ice come playoffs. I thought they play simple, they play hard, and they're just not easy to play against, and they compete. They really compete, and you know they get split up for the second game against the Lightning, and it's because Brandon Carlo and Hampus Lindholm, they haven't been playing phenomenal. And Carlo more so to me. I think they tied the game 1-1 in Florida, and he goes back for a puck retrieval, and he has all the time in the world, and passes it to nobody off the boards. He did pass it to somebody. It was Florida, and it's like you just tied the game, and you've been in the league now for what, 7-8 NHL seasons, maybe more, and you're supposed to be a shutdown defenseman for this Bruins team, and that's just a play. It's rudimentary, and it can't happen, and it leads to a goal against Tampa Bay. Nick Paul just beats him with the backhand pass, and he overcommits, and then it leads to the first Tampa Bay goal. So I think it's fair to say the Bruins need a hell of a lot more out of Brandon Carlo come playoffs. But in any event, Scott, not to hijack your opening shift, so I want to give the floor back to you and discuss those two defensemen and why they got split up.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's definitely a big part of it, is I think, I think Carlo's play has regressed a bit for probably a few weeks now. I also think Lindholm, you know, he had a little minor injury. He came back from that strong for a couple games, and then I think his play has tailed off a little bit recently. So, yeah, maybe it's a little bit of a wake-up call to both those guys. I do think that there is also an element of, like, wanting to see different pairs together just in case something happens, right? Like, in case Lindholm or Carlo goes down, but I just feel like you're gonna have some big adjustments to make if that happens in the playoffs anyways. Like, I don't know that you really need to be testing stuff out now. Again, I guess you can because you're gonna make the playoffs and you know what you have in Lindholm Carlo when they're playing well. But yeah, it's just a little odd. And like you said, especially coming off a game where Weatherspoon and Peak looked so good together against Florida, you'd think, you know, maybe give that another game and, like, let that continue to build. Nonetheless, I'm with you. Like, I think that would be their third pairing if game one were tonight. I imagine that's how they're starting. You know, we've seen other guys, you know, we saw Shattenkirk have a good game playing on his left side, but I don't think that's their first choice. So I imagine it would be Weatherspoon and Pete together. And you're right. Keeping it simple, physical, competing hard. One thing with Peak I want to see him get better at is making faster decisions on the breakout. He circles back a lot, and that is not part of what the Bruins want to do on the breakout. I know there's times it's necessary. There's times you just have to regroup instead of forcing a pass, but he regroups to the point sometimes where it then invites trouble because you allow someone to then close on you. So I do think he needs to make some quicker decisions with the puck, like there was, I think it was the Florida game. There's one specific breakout where it looked like he had a passing lane to the weak side defenseman, you know, making that the Bruins use a lot, you know, weak side defenseman rounds up into the neutral zone on the opposite side. And I think he had that passing lane, but he like hesitated. He didn't seem totally sure of himself. And then he circled back and all of a sudden Florida had like two guys coming after him. And because his D partner had already started the rush, it was like a two on one. I think he eventually just like rimmed it around and then there was a battle and the Bruins might have even won control, but it was like, yeah, you kind of just played yourself into trouble because you didn't take the pass when it was there immediately.
I'm okay with him not making a stupid pass though. If it's not there. Like I know what you're saying because he slows the game down and brings it back. And I noticed like he definitely has a different style of breaking things out than the guys like somebody like Lindholm or Grizzlick or, you know, but sometimes you need to just wait and try to get, you know, let a line change finish, try to get a pass up to somebody that just hopped on the ice or there's definitely times when it's not a bad thing to do, right? But you're saying just don't do it too much, I guess is kind of what you're saying.
Well, yeah, but if you circle back into traffic like you did on the one specific play I'm talking about, then that is the dumb play. Like that becomes the
dumb play. That's one specific play though. Like I feel like
It's happened more than once though.
I feel like I've seen him do it when he needed to at times as well. But this is just like a nitpicky thing. This isn't really like a huge like thing. But when we were talking before we started recording about the Weatherspoon Peak pair, and the changes that they went away from that and they split Carlo and Lindholm up. Basically what I said to you guys was it was a failed experiment. I didn't like how it looked. I thought that the chemistry was not there with the pairs that they had and not like, obviously they didn't switch everyone up, but you know, the pairs that they did have with Lindholm and Peak and Weatherspoon and Carlo just looked out of whack and they didn't impress me. And we talked about this as well too. Like it wasn't, I mean, I know you're trying to get Carlo and Lindholm going or what have you, but it just felt like we kind of should have probably known what the result was going to be before it even happened, that those two pairs were probably not going to have a whole lot of success. I'm okay with trying things, but it didn't seem like maybe the right game to try it. And it kind of felt like the result that was expected. You're playing guys together that I'm not sure if they ever played together before, except on like a, like when line changes weren't complete. And you know, maybe some special team stuff, but yeah, it was a failed experiment if that's what it was. And you still see, we see Lauri not coming again. Chattenkirk also out. At some point, like we talked about this, like what's the benefit of having Lauri not getting the reps? Like he could maybe be getting reps in Providence that might be beneficial to him, but yeah, that's its own topic.